Happy New Year, one and all, and welcome to December's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And joining me here, pretty late after Christmas, we're joined by a very festive bunch. Andrew Simpson is here, non-league reporter from Cheshire. Hello, Simo, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you, Ben?
I'm all right, I'm all good. James Hayes is here, social media officer for the glorious Northern Premier League.
Good evening.
James Gordon's back, everyone, press and media officer for the aforementioned glorious Northern Premier League. Hello, James, how are you?
Good evening.
And also joining us, making his debut on the show, on the monthly show anyway, Paul Connolly's here, everyone, lead commentator for Coastal County Radio. Hello, Paul.
How are we doing, lads? All right?
Welcome, Paul. And Swampy's meant to be joining us, but he's disappeared. But anyway, let's get started and have a little catch-up with the league table and where we find ourselves at the moment, because I feel, Simo, you know, we've had all the franticness now. The league table's taking shape, but there's stories and there's hopes and there's, is that possible over the next few weeks or so for a lot of teams? We'll start off at the top of the table because it's a three-horse race at the moment. Matlock Town, Buxton, Bamber Bridge, maybe South Shields, maybe Warrington, maybe Whitby. And that's what I'm talking about. It's wide open, isn't it, Simo?
Yeah, it is. And Matlock have kind of thrown the cat amongst the pigeons again with their win in the derby against Buxton on Monday to go back to the top of the table. And it's important for them for a number of reasons, not just psychologically because they've beaten their neighbours in a derby, obviously to kind of replace them at the summit. But I was having a look before, it was such an important win for Matlock. They've lost three successive home games going into that. So they were kind of conscious that they weren't picking up points in front of their own supporters. So it's kind of a double celebration for them that they kind of got rid of that record. And obviously they'd already lost at home this season to South Shields and Whitby, two of the other teams that we're going to come on to in a minute. So they've not got good memories of playing direct rivals at home either. So on several levels, a really, really important victory for them. Obviously striking a blow on Buxton as well, who are having a little bit of a dip. I was going to say wobble, that might be too strong, but certainly a little bit of a dip. But it keeps it nice and tight at the top. Matlock now will be desperate to build on that on New Year's Day by winning at Gainsborough, which is a really difficult game. But if they can, then it tees them up beautifully for January to kind of lead the pack. So I don't know if it's a three-horse race now, you know. Others have kind of closed the gap. I think it's a little bit more open.
Well, we're really happy to have Paul Connolly and James Gordon with us today because both their teams, Warrington and Whitby Town, are just there lurking in the background. We'll come to you first. In fact, who should have come to you first? Let me just remind myself of the league table because the pair of you keep swapping every other week, don't you? James Gordon, you're in fifth at the moment. Congratulations. Can Warrington get involved in this title race, do you feel?
That's a good question, Ben. A good question. I think Warrington's problem is they don't score enough goals and they draw too many. So I don't think Warrington or... I still think Buxton and South Shields will end up breaking away from everyone else. That's my sort of position on it. But I think the main thing for Warrington, and probably for Whitby as well, is just trying to open up a bit of a gap to the teams below. You know, obviously FC are creeping up a little bit, and you know their win on Monday keeps them within sort of touching distance, if you like. But yeah, for Warrington, like I said, I think Warrington draw too many games, and I think you look at Matlock as well. Matlock have lost six games, but they've only drawn one. So it means that, you know, yeah, they've probably lost more than they would have liked, but they can sort of get away with that because they've only drawn one game. So from Warrington's point of view, I don't think it's the title. I think Warrington, like many of the others, will just be focusing on getting into that playoffs and then anything can happen.
Now, Paul, obviously you've seen Whitby Town a lot this season, but you've seen South Shields as well quite recently. Quite an epic game on Monday, if the truth be known. We'll come to Whitby in a second, but what's your assessment on South Shields? I mean, James just said, you know, he still fancies South Shields and Buxton to be the ones who are vying for the title. But, you know, that's some statement that Whitby put down on Monday at the Turnbull Ground.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I quite like the look of Shields. They look to get the ball down and move it well. They were quite aggressive as well. So I quite enjoyed watching them. And it made for quite the spectacle, really, on Boxing Day or on Monday, should we say. So, yeah, I quite like the look at South Shields. Obviously, they've got two games in hand on Bamber Bridge. I think they've got a game in hand on each of Buxton and Matlock as well. So, they're going to be there or thereabouts, definitely. I just feel probably that it's probably going to be Buxton that do win it. I'm still nearly my colours to the mast on that one, but I think Shields will probably, in the long run, be the closest challenger to them, I would say.
And Teagot, obviously, in between Matlock and Buxton, South Shields, Warrington and Whitby, we have got the surprise package, and I think I'm safe in saying surprise package, Bamber Bridge. And, you know, a few people in recent weeks would have gone, oh, Bamber Bridge, they're probably going to slip out of it now. But a great 2-1 victory over Lancaster City on Monday puts Bamber Bridge back in the title race as we head towards New Year's Day.
It does indeed, and it's brought back that little bit of a question, could they survive without the loan signs a little bit? Well, they're still picking up the results where they need to at the moment, and they're getting great results. They are putting the pressure on Buxton at this moment in time, so it's pushing through that they could actually be genuine title contenders this year. Same question as well with Matlock at the start of the season, could they continue their pressure on throughout? They've done that. Big question for them now is, can they keep that little bit of a gap to contain themselves within the top five? I reckon if they can win against the likes of FC Scarborough, which they've got coming up soon, they're generally going to be pushing for that. As similar to before, I don't think there's two or three teams left in this. I think we've still got five or six potential. And as we've seen with the mid-table race a couple of weeks ago, all it's going to take is a good run of 3-4 wins and you're straight into that fight.
Well, we'll come to the mid-table race in the second part of the show because I do get the impression it's stretching out a bit now, isn't it? But Simo, we've just gone through the top six there. What's your sense on where this is leading in the coming weeks and months?
Just quickly on Bamber Bridge, we're going to know by the end of January whether they can last the distance, because I don't know if you looked at their fixture list for next month. Warrington away on New Year's Day, Buxton at home after that, and they've got FC United at home later in the month and Matlock away before the end of January. So we'll have our answer to that question on Bamber Bridge pretty soon. As for the broader picture, January is going to be busy for quite a lot of people with rearranged games being slotted in. So it's going to be quite interesting how people handle that. I do think there's a question mark about Buxton at the moment after losing Diego De Girolamo, who is such an important player for them. And he's going to be out for quite some time with the arm injury that he's got. Now, I wouldn't feel too sorry for them because they went out and signed Jason Gilchrist as his replacement. But obviously, we're going to need to see how Gilchrist slots into that team. They're obviously very, very used to playing to DiGirolamo's strengths. Teams have built around, been built around him. There's others, obviously, in that team as well with quality. But it'd be quite interesting to see how they cope with his absence. They are having a little bit of a blip. And as Steve Cunningham was saying after the game on Monday, I'm short on players. We've got injuries. We've got suspensions. And it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to that. I mean, it might look silly in a couple of weeks when they've picked up 3 or 4 wins in a row, but there are a few question marks against Bucks at the moment and how they kind of manage this little spell that they're having going into the new year. I'm not saying they're out of the title race or anything mad like that before people start frantically tweeting me, but I do think how Gilchrist beds in will be something to watch and keep an eye on.
Can I just have a little run round with regards to squads at the moment, because speaking from an FC United perspective, the substitutes bench for FC United on Monday had Dave Chadwick on it. And, you know, we're very light on the ground. We just heard about Buxton there. I'm imagining it's pretty universal, isn't it? Everyone's struggling, I'd imagine, at the moment. James Gordon, firstly, Warrington. Are you struggling at the moment for filling 16 players?
Warrington had the 46-year-old goalkeeper coach on the bench on Monday. So I guess that answers your question. I think it's just everyone's in the same boat. I don't think anyone can use it as an excuse. I think it's all going to be about who can stand firm. And that's probably why the likes of Buxton might have a little bit of an advantage, because you feel like they've probably got the resource to bring in more players than maybe some of the others.
Well, like Simo said, I mean, Jason Gilchrist is no little signing, is it really? Paul, is Whitby in the same boat with regards to squad selection?
I think it's been well documented, some of the issues that we had. I mean, I think it was against Grantham. I think we only had about 13 players available to select from, and one of those was Lee Bullock, our manager, who he probably won't mind me saying, if he had to come on, then we really would be struggling.
Those are the views of Paul Connolly at Coastal County Radio. I still think you've got it, Lee, just to say. Anyway, back to you, Paul.
Honestly, he completely agrees with me. Don't worry, we've chatted about it over a pint many a times this season. But, I mean, from Whitby's point of view, now going into what will be a tough game against Morpeth on Saturday, we're starting to slowly get back into what's resembling a fully fit squad. We'll have Marcus Giles back from a three-game suspension for that one, so we'll be back to three options for the forward line. And, I mean, now the only real long-term injury will be Lewis Ritson, who's out for the season. But otherwise, I think Whitby are starting to look, again, quite strong. And to be fair, have come through the last six games as the form team, along with Morpeth, with pretty much half a squad. So, positive signs there.
Of course, Whitby do have a track record, don't they? I remember, I think it was the FA Cup or the FA Trophy where you played with three goalkeepers. You get no sympathy from us on this show, Paul, for your squad selection. Just to say, I've just gone back on my main meeting page and I didn't realise you've had your hand up, James. So what would you like to say?
I'm just going to touch on Buxton a little bit, what I've said on the weekly show over the last couple of weeks, there, where the results for them, where they've dropped a couple of points, have worked in their favour a little bit because of how the rest of the sides have drawn with each other or had the odd one or two shock defeat. Since the FA Cup, they've been on a little bit of a bad form, particularly at home. So I think that against Matlock Town might be a little bit of a wake-up call to them, really, because, again, that's the first time they've dropped off the top of the table in December.
Well, they were down to 10 men as well early on, weren't they, in that game?
That's
so it's difficult to assess. But Simo, just before we draw a line under part one and move on to the mid-table pack, how excited are you about the possibilities?
I think it'll remain quite open for a little bit, yeah. I mean, I know James Gordon said earlier he thinks there'll be two teams that pull away. He may well be proved right. I think it'll be tight, though, for the time being. I do think with the run of form, FC United are on, Basford have shown a little bit of signs of life. It'll be interesting to see if those teams with one eye on fifth place can close that gap a little bit further. And as I mentioned earlier, just in case Bamber Bridge do have a rotten month because of that fixture list, whether that opens up the potential of two playoff places becoming available. So I think the next 6 weeks are going to be really interesting to kind of shape that playoff race. And I do think when we get together for the next monthly show, I'm not sure how much clearer it will be at the top either.
Warrington, I mean, to be fair, Warrington, if you look at Warrington's fixture in January, I think Warrington play Bamber Bridge, Buxton, South Shields, FC United and Whitby.
Wow.
In January. So Warrington are either going to be there or not.
just a quick question, James. Who do you think's got the easiest January? Because it does feel like some teams have got trickier months than others.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Ben, is everyone has to play each other home and away. So
I know, but not this close together. You know, it's ridiculous. Who's done this?
But you know, you look at no one would have expected Bamber to be up where they are. You know, many people might not have expected Matlock to be necessarily as high as they are. So it depends on the season. I think Buxton's an interesting one because they've got four games really early in the year. So they play Saturday, Tuesday in the first 2 weeks, which could be really good for them because that could build them some momentum pretty quickly. And obviously they'll largely be games in hand that they're playing on the Tuesdays as well. So if Buxton come away with three, four wins out of them first four games, they might all of a sudden have a bit of advantage on everyone else. But I think Simo says this most shows, the quality of the teams that you play, even if you play in a team, you know, down in the bottom portion of the league, there's not an easy game to play. So, you've got to get the points against the teams around you, but you can just quite as easily slip up against a Gainsborough or someone like that who you would normally think, oh, we'd probably fancy a home win against them.
Just a special mention before we move on to the mid-table pack for the attendances last weekend. We've touched upon Matlock Town against Buxton. Over 2,100 there at Causeway Lane. There was a decent crowd at the Turnbull Ground, weren't there? At Broadhurst Park as well for FC United v Ashton. It's been a good weekend just gone, hasn't it, in the league?
Yeah, it was. I was having a few conversations with the club chairman on Monday about maybe what home games they want on Boxing Day next year. But yeah, obviously I think there was five crowds over 1,000. The average crowd across the whole Premier Division was 1,100, which was actually less than what the average crowd was in the West Division, which is quite extraordinary, really. But I think non-league football in general's seeing a rise in attendances, and that can only be good for everyone. And of course, it's good for the clubs who, you know, more money coming in through the gate means that they can Well, Samoa plays, so they can't moan about not having enough bodies on the bench and whatnot. But, you know, great for the league, great for the clubs, great for the sponsors. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what it's like on New Year's Day as well, because, you know, I'd imagine quite a few people come out on those dates as well. So, all positive.
2,100 at Marine v Bootle, 1,100 Kidsgrove Athletic against Leek Town, blimey, 1,600 Clitheroe v Cone. So that's quite phenomenal, isn't it, in the West Division? I feel like I just need to have honourable mentions for the East Division. Mash United, 1,200 there for Mash United against Stockton. And there's crowds clocking on for 700, 800 across all of Step 4, isn't there? And Stalybridge Celtic v Hyde United back in the Prem, 1,300. Over 1,000 at Stafford Rangers v Nantwich, 1,200. Scarborough against Morpeth. Well, later in the show, we're going to go round this virtual table and nail everyone's colours to the mast, because we are at the halfway point. So we've got some data on the board, as it were. A sample size, I think Simo calls it. And we can assess who do we think is going to win the title and who the other four are going to be. So I've thrown that out there now. We've about half an hour of the show left. So everyone's aware of the lie of the land and what's expected of them later in the show. But that's the end of part one. It's now time to draw a line under this race for the title and the playoffs. And in part two, we're going to be talking about the race for the title and the playoffs with the mid-table pack. Are they involved? More on that in a second. Welcome back to the Pitching In NPL show for the month of December. There was absolutely no need for that break there. There was just a little jingle and we're back at it. There was literally no point. But Andrew Simpson's with us, James Hayes is with us, James Gordon and Paul Connolly. And now we're going to move from the top six and talk about that mid-table pack. Paul Connolly, I'll come to you. As a Whitby Town follower and lead commentator for Coastal County Radio for Whitby Town games, how much are you looking upwards and how much are you looking over your shoulder?
You obviously always look at who's behind you in the division, and obviously 5 points behind is FC United of Manchester, who we've yet to play away from home. And then we've got Scarborough, 6 points behind as well, Beresford 7 and Atherton 8. At the end of the day, and it's something that I talk about quite a lot with Nathan Haslam, Lee Bullock, is if Whitby keep doing what they're doing, then there's no need to worry about teams behind Whitby, because if Whitby just keep concentrating on winning games and doing what they can do very well, there shouldn't be any real worry there. But obviously, you know, you always hit bad runs of form in this division. You always hit a team that you don't expect to get beat by, but you do. And Whitby have a tendency to throwing an absolute stinker of a performance every 6 or 7 games, which is due, worryingly. So you never know, because that gap can all of a sudden become, say, 2-3 points, and then you lose another one, and all of a sudden those teams are right behind you or potentially even going above you. So it's difficult to not look behind, but at the same time, I think Whitby have just got to keep plugging away and looking up over rather than down over.
And Teagot, I'm going to come to you now, because Whitby Town in sixth at the moment. They've got a 5-point gap between themselves and FC United. Going down to Radcliffe in 13th, all due respect to Hyde United and Stalybridge, do you think that's the cut-off now? And it all depends on what happens at New Year's Day, whether you stay there, Radcliffe.
Definitely not, because, again, we've seen it happen straight away within the space of 2 games, having pretty much the entirety of the second half of the table a point off within 2-3 points of the relegation zone. And the likes of Ashton and Gainsborough starting to pick up form too. I think it's well and truly open at this moment in time, especially for that potentially for the fifth playoff spot. Again, if the likes of Whitby, Warrington start to drop points, I think it's a lot wide open for that mid-table run, especially for potentially even for the bottom five, bottom six places at this moment in time.
I don't know about that, Simo, because it does feel like it's stretched out a bit since we last spoke on the monthly show.
With teams moved away from the bottom, or do you mean?
Just the mid-table pack. It's not as close as it
was. Yeah, I would look at, you look at who might be kind of outside contenders to make a run. It's whether anyone's shown signs that they can be consistent enough to close that gap to fifth and sixth at the moment. And I'm not sure there's any contenders other than the ones we mentioned last time, which were FC United and Beresford. And even on Beresford, we said they had decreasing margin for error, although they seem to have just just in the past couple of weeks have picked up back-to-back wins, haven't they? Maybe now is their kind of recovery run. Good signing in Kieran Wells, whether he can chip in with the goals that they need to kind of make that assault on the top six. It'd still be them, I would be expecting. I know I'd made a case for Morpeth, and I still think they, of all of those teams in that bottom half, are the ones that have got best chance of really motoring up the table. But it's a big ask. You know, they're 14 points behind Warrington at the moment. Even if they went on a brilliant run, that is an awful lot of points to make up. But I think they're equipped to make that surge up the table. Other than that, I think everybody else should be looking over their shoulders and trying not to get dragged down, rather than realistically having a chance of making the playoffs. That's my take at the moment.
And James Gordon, you've seen Scarborough quite recently. They've come out of nowhere, I think. They were very inconsistent. They could beat teams quite comfortably and then suffer defeats. But, you know, that result against Warrington, they've clearly clicked in recent weeks.
Yeah, I was having a discussion with someone yesterday about whether Scarborough are a bit of a bogey team for Warrington. But I did like the look of Scarborough when I seen it. I think both the centre halves were very good, Thornton and Goodwin. I think Thornton was man of the match when I seen them at Scarborough earlier in the season as well. So I think they've got a nice sort of balance. They've got, you know, a big front man who can cause a bit of damage. He started scoring the odd goal here or there. If he can become a bit more prolific, Jacob Day, then maybe that fires them up there. I certainly think Scarborough are a contender. And I think the column that a few people talk to me about is losses. I don't feel like you can get in the playoffs if you've lost many more than 10 games. That's the sort of barometer maybe that's worth looking at, is how many games have teams lost at this point of the season. You know, Basford have already lost 9. You know, they'd have to go on a real run to get through to the end of the season. I know, and this is where I said earlier about the draws, the point about the draws, that FC have already lost 10, but because they've only drawn 2, you can almost consider FC of maybe, you know, that almost makes up for a loss in many ways. So I think that's the key column to look at. Morpeth have only lost 8, so if they can, you know, if they can keep winning games and they've got the games in hand and build them a bit of momentum, I think they've got an outside chance of getting into the playoffs as well. But Scarborough, yeah, I think they just need to find a bit of consistency with the goal scorers and the front and the lineup. I know Coulson's been injured a little bit, and clearly if he's in the team, they're a different proposition as well. And I'm sure that'll go down really well at Whitby if it's between Whitby and Scarborough for the last the last playoff place.
It's been a while for that to click there at Scarborough, but you know, there's been sort of signs over the season that it would click at some point. And as daft as this sounds, I know Nathan Cartman is a fantastic striker for the level, but since Cartman's gone, it seems to have clicked more and Scarborough looked to be a more dangerous proposition. I'm not sure why that is. Obviously, Luca Colville's come in and he's been an excellent addition. Louis Maloney's starting to find the back of the net as well. He's always a threat from sort of 20, 25 yards and from set pieces. And it was a cracking set piece goal that he got for the equaliser against Morpeth on Monday. So, yeah, from seeing him in the past, he's certainly a player that can do well at this level. And as you mentioned, Jake Day as well, it's taken him a little while to settle in. And when he played against Whitby, everything seemed to bounce off him that night. But he seems to finally be starting to pick out one or two goals just every now and then and keep adding to his totals. So I think they're going to be a threat, Scarborough, this second half of the season. Obviously, they're always going to have tricky games. But I think you look at their next couple and South Shields away, Basford at home and Buxton at home, and then they've got Matlock away in a couple of weeks as well. They're 4 out of the next 5 games that, if they are serious about making a push for the playoffs, that they need to be getting a good few points from those games.
And Paul, you've seen Basford quite recently, haven't you? So difficult to assess Basford because it looks like it's clicked there as well in recent weeks.
Again, I was talking to someone at Basford ahead of that game, and again, they're a side that had been ravaged with injuries at the time that we played them. And you wouldn't have believed it in the first half against Basford. But in the second, Whitby were very good and looked probably as though they could have gone on to win that game. But yeah, they were a decent side, Basford, for the players that they had missing. Obviously, they moved the ball well on that surface. It's not an ideal surface for everyone to go to, so you'd expect them to pick up home wins. Whether they can carry on doing it and carry on into the rest of the season and push for that playoff place, at this moment in time, I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if they have enough quality in that sort of in that squad depth, because they do have quality in the starting 11, but it was a side that was a bit more makeshift against Whitby, and it just doesn't quite scream squad depth to me, if I'm being honest.
And we had Steve Chettle on the show last week, and we hear from Jonathan Greening on East post-match interviews, and you can tell the pair of them are just quietly getting on with it, aren't they? And that comes across with the results as well, Scarborough and Basford have got in recent weeks. But James says, Atherton Coles. We mentioned Bamber Bridge being one of the surprise packages. Atherton Coles, a fantastic result against Radcliffe on Monday in front of a great crowd there. Can Atherton Coles do it? It's 8 points. They've got a couple of games in hand over Basford, over FC United, over Warrington. They're involved, aren't they?
If they're going to be involved, they need to sort their away form out. Majority of the points they've had have been from home games. They've been very, very quiet with how they've done the business this year. They've not changed the squad quite a lot. They just seem to want to develop themselves. Obviously, the third year they've been in the Premier now. And if they're going to be playoff contenders, that's still to be said, because they've got to start picking up that away form, really.
I was going to say the home form. You mentioned the home form, but at home, they've beat Radcliffe, who've been on a great run. They've beat FC United. They drew with South Shields. They beat Matlock, they beat Basford. So it's a handy home form, isn't it? Just before we move on to FC United and how I awkwardly segue between being a presenter and a pundit, Simo, just a mention for some of the teams just on the cusp of everything we've discussed so far. Stafford Rangers, they've had a tricky run of games recently, but they're still in with a shout, aren't they?
Yeah, they have had a couple of defeats, haven't they? But I still think it's kind of bigger picture for them all the way through. It's been the theme this season, isn't it, of where they are now compared to where they started. And if I'd offered them 11th place going into 2022, they would have been ecstatic. So no reason to be alarmed, and they'll keep ticking over quite nicely, I'm sure.
And James Gordon, just a mention for Lancaster City. Warrington played them in a bit of a thriller a couple of weeks ago, didn't they? What's your thoughts on their chances?
Yeah, that game you mentioned, that Warrington won 5-1. Lancaster probably could have won it 5-1. It was that sort of game. The weather was atrocious. But I think that's partly, that game was probably quite reflective of Lancaster's season. They either win or they lose. There's no sort of middle ground. And, you know, I suppose you can look at it one way. If they start stringing wins together, then, you know, they may well move up the table. But I think, you know, they're, again, when you look at where Lancaster were a few seasons ago, obviously they were doing well in the last proper or half a proper season, whatever it was. But, you know, certainly when Mark Fell took over, they were, you know, down in the doldrums towards the bottom. So I think from their point of view, they'll be looking at, they're relatively comfortable there. I'm sure if they can, like with anyone, if you can win three or four games in a row, then it completely changes the outlook of where you're at, because it can propel you into positions, because everyone's beating each other and everyone plays each other, of course, at various times. So I still think Lancaster have got an outside chance. But I think the only team below Lancaster at the moment is probably Morpeth, I'd say, that you'd expect to get into that battle for the playoff spot, if indeed one does become available.
Simo, I need your help now, because if ever I have to take a back seat from doing this show, I think you're the natural successor, I think. So at this point...
where's this going?
At this point, I think, you know, you could be presenter if you like, and I can awkwardly switch to being a pundit, because we've not really spoke about FC United. Four straight wins now.
Well, I wondered whether Neil Reynolds sent Greg Hall a Christmas card, because I was looking at this, and Greg Hall dropping one in the 95th minute at Winchin Park. FC United have not looked that really from that day. I think they've won six of the past eight games, and that was the start of that run. I'd also like to give a shout out to Joe Duckworth. Obviously, he's just gone in at FC United, lives down the road from me in Winsford. FC United took a little bit of a gamble on him. He's done really well in the North West Counties League for Winsford, never played at this level before, but he's come in and chipped in with a couple of goals already, hasn't he? And I know lots of people have looked at him over the past couple of years, and no one's took that chance on him in the Northern Premier League. And it'll be really interesting if that gamble for Renault pays off. I'd be curious to know what your impressions of young Joe have been so far?
Well, the exciting thing is his combination with Regan Linney, because Regan Linney obviously has been a winger, but he's been moved to number nine recently. And if anyone's seen the highlights of the Buxton game, him and Duckworth, and the Ashton match as well, him and Duckworth have been linking up beautifully. And it's, as an FC United supporter, I'm very, very excited about the coming months, about what's possible. And I was doing the mid-season review for FC's radio recently, and the turning point, it looks like, was the Grantham game. Because obviously, I know there was the Whitby defeat, but Paul will vouch for me. I mean, that game was just a game of football, wasn't it, Paul, really? And Atherton was just a horrible game in the rain, really. But Grantham was the low point of a film, you know, where the film suddenly starts getting a bit happier. That was Grantham. That was the low point.
It's interesting what you say about Linney, because the theme for FC United this season has been figuring out that combination up top. We've had, you know, several people have auditioned for the role at number nine, including a couple of lads that FC have had in on loan. Not quite found the answer. Then Cedric Main started the season. Obviously, then he moved on to Sal Shields. And if you feel in the kind of way in which Renault shuffled the pack, has he got that solution now? Because if he has, all the other ingredients were pretty much in place. So that would give you optimism that you can make that charge into the top five. I did chuckle at Renault's interview on the show last week when he kind of wryly mentioned this reputation FC United have got of having the storm in second half of the season. But, you know, often there is truth in these cliches. It's there for a reason. So is the formula right now then, if you're saying that little switch up top?
Well, I think we'll know more after New Year's Day, because Radcliffe away is a tough game. James Gordon knows this. Next Saturday, Warrington Town coming to Broadhurst Park. Then we've got Bamber Bridge the following week. Stalybridge, a home game after that. Paul Connolly's coming back down the A1. Sorry about that, Paul.
Maybe on this time.
it was on last time for Whitby. And, of course, you know, Grantham Town away. And Grantham might have hit a bit of form at the end of January. So we'll wait and see. But, Simo, good audition, I thought. Good question.
Thank you.
Good questions. and James, just to finish off FC United, big game on New Year's Day against Radcliffe, and I did hint at it earlier. It's a big game for Radcliffe, isn't it? I mean, what's your take on where Radcliffe are at the moment?
It's been a very mixed month there for Radcliffe, mainly because, again, the FA Trophy defeat 2 weeks ago, as well as Atherton College on Monday. It's the first time we've had two defeats since Bobby Grant took charge of the club. That being said, they've been very close defeats, and Radcliffe, most of the times, it's been from defensive errors, so Saturday's game is going to be an interesting one there, because both sides seem to like playing it late on, but Radcliffe have been on a completely different side, especially with the signing of Printon Taywood recently, who was a vital part of the promotion season. He's, as soon as he can get developed into that squad, he's got a big opportunity to play a part.
Paul Connolly, just before we move on to part three of the show, what's your sense on this mid-table pack? Who do you think is going to be challenging Warrington, Whitby, maybe South Shields, Bamber Bridge? Who do you think's got the capability?
I'm not really looking beyond FC United or Scarborough at the moment. I think Scarborough just maybe starting to find that little bit of consistency. Tricky game that they had on Monday against Morpeth. They've got another tricky one, another tricky few coming up. But it's a lot of that is going to depend on how they come through these next sort of 5-6 games that we mentioned earlier in the show. So I'd probably back FC United, because as we mentioned, that cliche of having a fantastic second half of the season, it might be the one time this year that I'm going to buy into that and say that they'll be the main challenger. Stafford, I didn't mind the look of when they came to Whitby, but do they have enough? Possibly not. I'm sure there'll be a few Stafford fans clipping that one down and atting me on Twitter if I get that one wrong. But yeah, I think at the minute I'm not looking beyond FC or Scarborough.
Anyone from you, James Gordon?
I'll have to give you some credit, Ben, because you did say to me when we sat together for Christmas lunch a few weeks ago.
That's right. Me and James Gordon for dinner together. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
There's got to be some perks to this job. And to be fair, Ben did say he fancied FC United to go on a bit of a run. And I certainly think, you know, you sort of get a feel for it when you're at games and you're checking the scores elsewhere and, you know, the live league table and stuff, and you see the swing. And obviously that game on Monday for FC United was a good example of that, where, you know, 1 minute they were winning, then it was a draw, and you're looking, oh, actually, if they draw, that'd be a good result for, you know, for the teams in the top five or six. So, and like we talk about Duckworth as well on Monday, if they can find someone, and they may well have found him in him, that can stick the ball in the net for them more often than not, then they're obviously going to be up there. And certainly no one would want to go to FC United in the playoffs if they sneak into fifth or even higher than that, with the atmosphere and the stuff that's generated there.
But that's the end of part two. We're going to draw a line under the promotion race now and touch upon the bottom half of the table right after we've had a quick trip to the kitchen for a cup of tea. Welcome back to part three of the Pitching In NPL show for the month of December. And sitting here with me in virtual reality, we're joined by four people all wearing Christmas jumpers: James Gordon, James Hayes, Paul Connolly, and Andrew Simpson. And we're going to finish the show off now talking about the lower half of the table. Simo, Stalybridge Celtic, Hyde United, not much separating them at the moment, but two different types of stories, really. We had Thomas Fiend on the show last week, and we were saying Stalybridge Celtic, mid-table. I mean, it's just the way the results have fallen so far. But Hyde United, they've been surging, haven't they? And suddenly, as the players have started to come back, people at Hyde are getting a bit excited about, not necessarily this season, but certainly next, with Jim Gannon.
When you say people, you mean Berkey with his outrageous, outrageous prediction that Hyde are going to get promoted next season. He didn't say from which division, though, so I'll put him back in his place for such cheek. But yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, though, he has remained remarkably calm, considering it was a really slow start under Jim Gannon, while Jim kind of filtered who he wanted, who was going to move on, trying to recruit people that would fit his style of play. And that patience is starting to be rewarded. They're now unbeaten in their past five. And you're quite right, their trajectory is slightly different to Stalybridge, who've not won any of the past five. I don't think there's necessarily reasons for major alarm at either club at the moment, but they certainly haven't got enough points to kind of breathe easy. And we've seen time and time again on the monthly show where we're always able to comment on a team that's put two or three wins together, whether that's been Ashton or Morpeth or Witten, and there's been that churn of those teams then being dragged back down again. And I think that Hyde and Stalybridge are very much in that bracket. They're not far enough away from it yet to breathe easy, but the signs are really encouraging for Hyde, and maybe in another 4 weeks' time when we get together, they'll kind of be around 11th and 12th, and that'll be a job really well done by Jim Gannon. But they're in that mix with seven or eight teams that we're going to talk about in this section, and Hyde have come from that bottom three to climb up the table. It gives hope to everybody else that it can be done, but it's very, very congested. So even though there's good signs, there's still work to do for both of those teams.
And James Gordon, T got mentioned earlier about Afferty Coles relying on home form for a bit of their league position at the moment. Gainsborough Trinity, you've been to North Holme. You got a point at North Holme, Warrington. Congratulations. That's easier said than done. Gainsborough, a weird one, aren't they, at home?
Yeah, I think they've only lost one, haven't they, I think, at home all season. And to be fair, I suppose that's the first thing you try and do if you're near the bottom of the league. If you can, you know, if you can get points in your home games, you know you're not going to finish down there. And that's probably that is the main reason, let's be honest, of how they've got away from maybe the relegation places at the moment. It's interesting. They've certainly been in a bit of a transition, haven't they, the last few years. I think, you know, clearly it was a blow when they got relegated, you know, and maybe they thought it was going to be a lot easier than it turned out to be. You know, obviously they're rebuilding under the new manager and they're trying to do it in the right way. And they're very organised. They work very hard. Like, I don't think, you know, you can see why they don't score many goals. I think they've scored the fewest in the whole league. But they get men behind the ball and the two strikers come back and press, and they lead the press and get behind the ball and just make it difficult for teams to sort of break them down. I certainly think they're obviously not going to be pulling up trees, but I'd imagine that Gainsborough have got enough to get away from the from any danger.
And Paul, Gainsborough's home form, they'd be third in the league if it was just home results. I mean, they beat Whitby. So You know, I mean, what's your thoughts on how they're brilliant at home but not so good away?
I'd love to know. I really would love to know. And it was a game that I expected Whitby would win earlier in the season, Gainsborough away. So, yeah, that wasn't the best result. I didn't actually get to that game. I was sat at home working that day. But they've got plenty of experience at Gainsborough alongside those sort of young lads. You know, the likes of Neil Bishop. I mean, Neil Bishop's someone that you do want around your squad in any squad in this league, I would say. I know he's, you know, I think he's 40, 41 now, Neil. But, you know, I looked at him last season at Scarborough. He was pivotal for Scarborough in pretty much most games. And then, you know, you go back to it this season and they're doing well with him there as well, at home at least. Whether they can do that away from home, I think there's maybe not quite enough experience. I think they maybe need to learn a little bit more and stop being a bit naive away from home. But, you know, if they can get that going, and it's probably not going to be this season, but keep that squad together. They've got a good set of, you know, young lads with that little bit of experience. Keep them together. I think they'll probably be okay next season.
Simo, at this point, there's a 4-point gap between Ashton United in 18th and Nantwich Town in 21st. Gainsborough Trinity are 2 points ahead of Ashton United, but as we've discussed, pretty good at home. So, you know, they've got a steady income of 3 points and 1 point there because of the home form. Morpeth Town have got games in hand, but, you know, they're 6 points above the relegation place at the moment. What I'm trying to ask you is, how many teams are involved in the relegation fight, do you feel, realistically, as we turn into January?
Certainly everybody from Gainsborough down, absolutely. Morpeth, I've got no chance whatsoever of being relegated, so discount them. I suppose it depends on whether Stalybridge's slide continues. I think Stalybridge and Hyde, like I said before, still got work to do.
This is the thing, though. They only need 13 points, don't they, realistically? Having done this show now for a number of years, 40's the mark, isn't it, that you need to get to? And at that point...
Yeah, but when you're not winning, 13 points can sound a lot, you know. And Gainsborough have only won one of the past 7 league games, even vouching for that solid home form they got. They do draw a lot of games as well, Gainsborough, by the way. But so I do think, you know, from them downwards, absolutely everyone's in the mix. But I do think Stalybridge and Hyde have got a little bit of work to do as well. I don't think anybody else is going to have a catastrophic fall down the table. Occasionally we see that happen, don't we? But there's no candidate for that this season. So yeah, there's still, for me, yeah, 6, 7, 8 teams who are very much got work to do.
James Hayes, Ashton United. Wasn't too long ago, I think they strung some results together. They got a series of wins, didn't they? Then they came across Hyde United in a local derby. They had to play Buxton. They've obviously just played FC United. They did beat Micklover, though. So they're beating the teams they're meant to be beating at this stage. Clegg, you would tell you it was just about players coming back, and that appears to be the case, really, with how they've...
Indeed, a little bit. So similar sort of situation to having Collieries. The home form's perfect at this moment in time. Plenty played Radcliffe, absolutely played them off the back.
What about Witten Albion, Simo? You have got games in hand, though. This is it.
If you could see me, I've got my head in my hands. I mean, it's been an absolute disaster of the 6 weeks. I mean, they had 4 successive postponements, didn't play a game for 5 weeks before they played Warrington on Monday. The first team in the Premier Division to be affected by a COVID outbreak, and I would wager they won't be the last. But just to kind of give some insight on the knock-on effect of that, you know, they weren't able to train for 10 days in the run-up to playing Warrington because they didn't want the virus to spread throughout the group, and were still doing lateral flow tests on the morning of the game to discover whether they had enough players. All that considered, they actually gave a pretty good account of themselves for an hour or so before they, you know, they ran out of gas and Warrington's class very much told in the end. But Witten, because they've not played for so long, they've got no form to go off. So I've no idea really what we're going to get from them in the next few weeks. Whilst they've got Callum Saunders, you would absolutely believe they've got enough firepower to pull themselves out of trouble. But I speak to Carl after the game on Monday, they just concede too many goals. And that's been a theme all season, and it's something they really do need to address in the next few weeks. Otherwise, they're going to be right in the thick of a fight for, for survival. So because they've not been playing, they have slid down the table. I think after their game on November the 20th, they were something like 14th or 15th. But before they could play again, they'd slipped four or five places through no fault of their own. So we'll see. January's very, very busy. They've got probably three or four games in January that you'd look at and circle and go, we need to get something.
There's three people around this virtual table who've seen Mikulova recently. FC United is one of them, so I've seen them. Paul Connolly's seen them. James Gordon's seen them. They did get a point at Warrington. They lost to FC United, but I think they're better than the league position suggests.
To be honest, I've said this for the last few seasons, probably since John McGrath's been there, to be honest. Whenever I see Mikulova, they seem to look quite handy.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they just don't seem able to grind out the results. The facility there is great there now as well. They've sort of feels like they've got the parts, but just maybe haven't figured out the right way of getting them together. So, yeah, I'm always a bit surprised to see Mikulova down there. But then, at the same time, you look at the other teams down there, you know, Nantwich, even Witten, Ashton. It's going to be hard to call. Like, it'll be a surprise, I think. It'll be quite a shock or a surprise of who does go down in the end, because I think you could make a case for any of the teams down there to be doing a lot better than they are.
I've forgotten how difficult it is to talk about relegation, because we've not really discussed it properly ever for 2 years now. But Nantwich, where they are, that's one of the biggest surprises of the season, isn't it, so far?
Yeah, it continues to be. But they continue not to have addressed the problem that they've got, which is they don't score enough goals. They've not won any of the last nine Premier Division fixtures. Having said that, it will feel like they won on Monday after back from 2-0 down and Sean Cup scrambling the equaliser late on. It gives them a little bit of momentum. But in the bigger picture, they've still not found the right solution up top, and they've been through several players to try and find it. You know, Sean Miller coming in in the summer. It's not happened. Joe Malkin got injured in pre-season, which was a massive blow for them. Only very recently come back, but still not back at top fitness yet. Dan Cochrane has weighed in with a couple of goals, but not quite yet been the answer. Connor Heath's had a turn up front, and that is where they do need to find a solution, because their defence has held up reasonably well, you know, comfortably one of the better defensive records of the teams in the bottom half of the table. So if they can figure out a way of improving their goals output, they probably, a little bit like Morpeth, will move up the table. But there's no sign of that happening just yet.
James, just finally, Grantham Town, obviously bottom of the league at the moment. Dennis Green's come in. They've had flickers, haven't they? They've had draws against Mikulova and Gainsborough. But realistically, I don't think I'm being too out of line here by saying this. Wins against Mikulova and Gainsborough would have been handy.
They would indeed. I mean, I think I pointed on this last week that the draw they had against Mikulova was a good little starting point, but it just hasn't developed since there. And again, they did pick up a good point against Gainsborough on the Christmas fixtures, but they've got to start picking up more results.
Just looking at Grantham, they've conceded a lot of late goals recently. They have picked up, but if you look at, they conceded late against Gainsborough, which would have been two extra points. They conceded late against Mikulova, which would have been two extra points. They conceded late against Morpeth, which should have been one extra point. So, I mean, if they'd have had them 5 points, they'd have been a bit more in touching distance than they are.
They would have been one win away, which is definitely something to fight for at that point, isn't it? So they've still got a second half of the season to go. So a long way to go yet. And Simo will tell you this. I don't like getting predictions for relegation. So I'm just going to skirt away from that and say we wish everyone luck down the bottom end of the table. Right. We're into the closing stages of this month's show, and I did set some homework earlier in the edition of this recording, and I asked you for your predictions. Firstly, Simo, to you, with a few months left of the season, who is going to win the league and who's your four for the playoffs?
I think that South Shields are going to win the league, and the teams behind them who will make the playoffs are going to be Matlock, Buxton, Warrington. And do you know what? I think FC United will do it. I didn't think I was going to say that 2 weeks ago. But we've seen this play before. We know how it ends.
Well,
I think they're going to do it.
Simo, thank you for doing Bobby Grant's team talk on Saturday. Really, really appreciate it.
Wow.
James Gordon, as a civil servant for the league, these are your own personal views. Who's going to win the league? What's your four for the playoffs?
I think mine are going to be exactly the same as Simmons. I think South Shields are in the league. I think it'll be Buxton, Matlock, Warrington and FC United.
Okay. Paul Connolly. That means Whitby doesn't get in the playoffs. But that's only two people's opinions. What's your opinion on the top five?
Right then. I'm going to go Buxton to win it. Personally, I'm sticking by that one. I've said it all along and I'll stick by it. Then probably South Shields, Matlock, and I'm going to say Whitby and Warrington.
Okay. And James Hayes, social media officer for the league, your own personal views, please, on this, how this is going to play out at the end of April.
Well, I've done this actually mathematically and I've given a duty to football web pages to predict everything.
You can't do that. Well, that's cheating.
That is a cop-out.
It really is, isn't it? It's using maths and points per game. Come on.
There's some sort of critical flaw this month.
Tell us, James, what does the website tell you? What does the computer say?
So, football web pages, again, on our match days, do all the live updates as well. So, they're going to say that Matlock will win the league by 6 points. And then the playoffs are Buxton, South Shields, Bamber Bridge and Whitby in that order. Okay. And Whitby will beat Warrington by 5 points to it.
Okay, well, thank you, Joshua. You don't know Joshua. War Games and Ashy Dads. Anyway, right. So just to say, we're recording this show on Thursday this week. We do have, on paper, some exciting games on New Year's Day. We're not really going to go around the table and predict them because we're not too sure, you know, where we are with COVID and that kind of thing. Check social media. Check the npl.co.uk. James Gordon, we mentioned the attendances and that. We're in for an exciting second half of the season, aren't we, for sure, if all things considered and everything's equal.
Yeah, well, yeah, if everything's equal, it will be very, very exciting. No, yeah, I think, I mean, it's good that, and you know I said earlier, I think maybe the two will start running away from it. You know, like Simo says, the longer it goes on where there's plenty of teams in the hat and the chat, you know, even looking at that just one game, the Buxton Matlock game, the swing that caused just that one result in terms of, well, that would have either been Buxton clear at the top, but instead it meant Matlock went. We're going to see that a lot in January, particularly given the fixtures. So certainly exciting and hopefully, yeah, fans keep turning out and supporting the clubs because, you know, I'm sure everyone, you know, COVID hasn't gone away and that's frustrating for everyone. And I'm sure the clubs will appreciate having the turnstiles ticked over just in case anything untoward does happen at some point, which hopefully it doesn't.
And James Hayes, just a final mention for the social media channels for this weekend. Do check social media, dear listener, before setting off to your game. How can people do that?
Twitter, Official Love Premier League. Facebook, Official Love Premier League. Instagram, Official Love Premier League as well. It's pretty much all the same except Twitter. And then obviously on YouTube, we'll be putting up the goal show at some point.
So cracking goals being scored, that's for sure. Simo, with 3 minutes left of the recording, are you excited?
Yes, good. Of course. At both ends of the table, yeah, it's wide open. That's what you want. I wouldn't even discount Grantham at this stage. And whilst they've got it all on. It's brilliant. Everyone's going into 2020 with loads to play for. So absolutely, yes.
And Paul Connolly, we've had you on the weekly show occasionally over the years, but this is your first time on the monthly show. How was it? Did you enjoy it? Was it everything you were expecting? Has everyone been treating you okay? Have you found it? Has it been all right?
It were everything I dreamed it would be.
Excellent stuff. Yeah. Well, lads, it's been...
We'll get Swampy away for you, don't worry.
Where's Swampy? He was meant to be here. Swampy says his apologies, I'm sure. And that's the end of December's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big Happy New Year, one and all. There will be a Step 4 show out next week and a big Happy New Year to all the managers in the NPL West, the NPL East and, of course, the Midlands Division. A big, big Happy New Year to all the managers who come on this show week in, week out. And also a big Happy New Year to all our regular contributors as well. Berkey, Andrew Snaith, Thomas Feeney, Mark Carruthers, and Johnny Crowver, who've been on the show this past year. Big, big Happy New Year to you. But also a big Happy New Year to James Hayes, social media officer for the league. Thanks for joining us, mate.
No problem. And welcome back to the league, Johnny Mackin, as well. As we've been on air, he's new manager of Cole.
Oh, congratulations, John. James Gordon, press and media officer, big Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, everyone.
And Paul Connolly from Coastal County Radio, happy new year, my friend.
And to you all.
And Simo, big thank you for joining us, and all the best for 2022.
And you, stay safe.
Well, that's the end of the show. Big thank you for joining us, dear listener, and you all have a lovely weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.